Good afternoon,
Love
everyone.
Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Noonday Prayer Ministry. Our pastor is Pastor Franklin Brown and his wife, Pastor Etha Brown. I want to thank Elder Dorothy Hall for giving me this opportunity Tuesday to speak to everyone. I want to first and foremost give honor to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, and the blessed Holy Spirit. This is the second message in a series of messages that God have given me to teach and preach on. And this is his son, Jesus Christ, who we know as the Savior of the world, who is now seated on the right hand of God the Father. Let us say a word of prayer, please. Father in heaven, we come to the throne of grace and mercy at this time. We come in the name of Jesus. We come with thanksgiving, as always, to thee, the true and living God. For truly, we are grateful and thankful for your many, many blessings, Lord, because you bless us, seen and unseen blessings. We thank you for our salvation. We that are saved know that right now we have eternal life with thee, and that we are to be witnesses in these last days. And God, do help us to be witnesses in these last days. We pray that you will continue to bless each of us, those that are on at this time and those that are working, those that are doing different things at this time. We pray for all of your people everywhere. We pray that you'll continue to bless our church as we are seeking for the guidance and leading of our own facility at Noonday Prayer Ministry. And we know, God, that you have already chosen the place for us, and we just pray at your time, and your time is the perfect time to give us the place that we seek to worship thee in the beauty of holiness and righteousness. Lord God, I want to say a special prayer for our young people, not only our young people that are at Noonday Prayer House, but young people everywhere, that you will continue to bless them, cause them to realize that you are their Father, and that whatever they need, that they can ask of you, and that you require for them to walk upright as you require all of your people everywhere. We pray that you'll bless our pastor, his wife, continually to lead us and guide us at Noonday Prayer Ministry Church. We pray your blessings in their lives and all of the members there and all of the members of the body of Christ. We pray that you will continue to bless all churches that stand for your word, that stand on your promises. We just pray that you continue to meet all of our needs. You know what we need. You know our desires. Help us to walk upright before you. Help us to yield our members to you that you might use us for your glory, honor, and praise in these last days. We thank you for all things, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My great-grandmother, who lived to be 102 years, every fifth Sunday at St. Matthew Missionary Baptist Church in Sanford, when I was a kid growing up, the women's and the men's and mothers of the church and everyone who had a testimony stood up and sung a song and gave their testimony. I just want to sing a little bit of this song that she loved it so much. Do you think I'll make God a soldier? Do you think I'll make God a soldier? Do you think I'll make God a soldier? For I'm a soldier of the cross. Every round goes higher and higher. Every round goes higher and higher. Every round goes higher and higher. but I'm a soldier of the cross. Praise God. Called to preach the gospel, not by man, neither by men, but by God the Father and Jesus Christ, whom he raised from the dead. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith in the Son of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And how can they hear except they hear from a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of joy. For the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord and vengeance of our God. Back in September of 1983, after I accept the ministry to preach God's word, those are the words that God gave me when I prayed before him on my knees. And he spoke to me and he told me that every time I am given the opportunity to bring forth his word, say those words ahead of time. And of course, looking at it, it's enough word for a lost person to be convicted by God's word and his Holy Spirit and accept him as their personal savior. We're going to get right into the message. And the message is highly exalted. We're talking about Jesus Christ. This is the second message in series of messages as God opened up the door for me to bring forth his word. And it's found in Philippians, the second chapter, and it's verses 6 to 11. Those are our verses for the foundation about highly exalted Jesus Christ. I'm going to be giving scriptures, and if you have a pen and paper, you might want to write them down because I've got to move sort of quickly because of the time. There's not a whole lot of time because we know that our attention span is roughly 20 to 30 minutes in hearing anybody bring the word of God and trying to obtain some for learning purpose. And so it's adequate time. And so we want to try to get as much of God's word as possible to those that are listening. Philippians, the second chapter, verses 6 to 11. And I read from the King James Version. I think this is coming from the King James Version. The verse says, say, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, things in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. During that period of time when Jesus was on the earth, the Israelite people, the Jewish people, was under the impression that he was going to come rolling in. I believe with all of my heart that he was going to become rolling in, riding on a beautiful white horse with a crown on his head to deliver them from under the Roman authority. But he came as a servant. He came humble. And we as believers are to live our lives according to the way that Jesus acted, talked. We are to be humble in every respect. Jesus was very, very humble. He was 100% man, and of course he was 100% God. But when Jesus died on the cross, and when he was buried, and he rose the third day, he became, once again, 100% God, and he took off the flesh. That's why he told Mary not to touch him, because he had not ascended up to heaven. Flesh and blood is sinful. We were made perfect in Adam and Eve, but because of their sin, we all became sin. No sin can enter heaven. Flesh and blood can't enter heaven. Now, we know that God took up Elijah. We know that on a fire chariot, he took him up. But we don't know where he took him up. We know that he's not in heaven because flesh and blood cannot enter heaven. But when God come back for us, he's going to change our mortal bodies into immortality. He's going to change our mortal bodies, liken to the body of Jesus Christ. I want to take us back to Genesis, please. And I want to state verse 1 that I mentioned on the first message on Sunday. And Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, we know, we that are believers, we know that God, when he creates something, he created perfect. It's impossible for God to not create anything that's not perfect. So when he created the heaven and the earth, it was perfect. They were perfect. But then in verse 2, it says, and the earth was without form and void. Wow. Chaotic. When did that happen? I believe that it happened when the angels thrust out Lucifer out of heaven, who wanted to exalt his throne above God's throne. Now, I was just thinking as I was preparing the message, I was thinking about, as I did a study on Lucifer, the Satan, the devil, that he was full of wisdom. There was no creature that God had created that had more wisdom and beauty as the devil. He was Lucifer at the time, and he had more beauty and more wisdom than any creature that God had created. And it's amazing that he allowed his beauty and his wisdom to bring forth sin in the world. And he had the stupidity of thinking that God did not know what he was thinking. He had so much power and authority that he had one-third of the angelical being to follow him. And they were cast down, every one of them, to the earth. And Peter let us know that some are even in chains of darkness right now, even today. And, of course, we know their end destination will be hell, which will be cast into the lake of fire. Thank God that he do not allow us, most of us anyway, to see the demonic forces of darkness. The devil is more ugly and scary looking than as he was more beautiful than any creature that God created. When we ask God for something, let's make sure, believers, that we ask him in detail. Because one of the things that I ask God for, I asked him to see an angel. I did not specify a beautiful angel, but I just wanted to see an angel And the Lord allowed me to see that angel. Everything I ask God for, he gives to me because I walk upright. Now, of course, I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect. And so I was in church in Syracuse, New York, Southern Missionary Baptist Church at the time, back in 1984. I'll never forget. I was in the pulpit with seven other ministers along with the pastor, and the Lord told me to look up. And I looked up and I seen this angel, but it was the angel of death. How did I know that was the angel of death? Because he was completely black and he filled the whole ceiling. He came all the way up until the pulpit. That's where he came up. But I'm not going to go into that story at this time. But when we ask God for something, for women's asking God for a husband, they're that be specific and write those things down. Asking for a house, you just don't ask God for a house or a home. You be specific whether you want 3 bedrooms or 4 bedrooms. You must be specific. Now, let's get back to Genesis here. And we want to take a look at Genesis, the 3rd chapter. We're not going to read anything there, but that is where the serpent was. And he tempted Eve. And she succumbed to his temptation. Now, I want to read a few verses for 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, to set up everything. In the 23rd verse of 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that God created Adam from the dust of the ground. And Adam was just a dirt body, but the Bible let us know in Genesis that God breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. So it goes to show us why the body is going to go back to the dust, because it's nothing but a dirt body. The real us is soul and spirit, and we see that, of course, in Hebrews 4:12. Where only the Holy Spirit of God can divide the soul and spirit. It is intertwined, but they have two different functions. They have two different functions. 1 John 2:16 saying, we need to see this. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Sisters and brothers, believers, God wants us to have the very best, but he does not want us to put those things above him. He wants us to have the best, but he do not want us to put those things above him. Lust, definition of lust, is a desire of that which is the object of desire. We have a desire. We're flesh and blood. And we have a desire. But James let us know that when sin has conceived, it brings forth death. And that death is physical death. Lust of the flesh here denote that which is peppered the appetite. Lust of the eyes now is that which is designed merely to glorify the sight. And we see things that do glorify the sight. Now, it's okay to look at beautiful homes, beautiful cars, and what have you, but we are not to covet after other people things that they have, because God can provide those things for us as well. The lust of the sight is costly clothes, jewelry, gorgeous furniture, splendor houses and palaces and business and cars and houses. Those things are nice to have. And God wants us to have those things. But we are not to let those things get our eyes off of God. We're not to put those things ahead of God. We must continue to pray. We must continue to read thy word. And I think about when Paul spoke to Timothy in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verse 15, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God. He didn't say approved unto man, because you can never please man most of the time. But we must study. And there's a difference between study and just reading the word of God. And a lot of times we get lazy and we just read the word of God. I do as well. But I also study the word of God. I have to study the word of God in order to be able to bring the word of God. Ministers, preachers, pastors, elders, prophets, apostles, priests, we are to study the word of God. And it's for the believers as well. Just for believers, period, is to study the word of God, but more so for those that are called of God. We are to study the word of God. And the pride of life. The pride of life is boasting and the arrogancy of pride. It refers to whatever there is that tends to promote pride. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, in Proverbs, that pride is one of the seven things that God hates. God hates a person that is puffed up with pride. We know that Satan tried this temptation first on Christ in Luke 4:3, when he commanded the stone to be made bread. Jesus passed all of the devil temptation, and Jesus had just came from praying many days. And he tempted Eve with those same things. We got to realize that first and foremost, that, and we do know that we are a threefold being as Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Threefold. We are threefold. God made us in his likeness. He made us with a free will to make decisions. He made us a free will. But he made us to serve him, to worship him, to adore him, and to be obedient to his word. And being obedient to the word of God, that's when we are in a position to get all the blessings that God wants for us. I don't want to go to heaven. I won't go to heaven. And an angel showed me all of these blessings that I should have had, gotten, and I didn't get them. And I know what it takes, and we know what it takes to get all of the blessing that God has for us, because God do not run out of blessing. He came to Eve with the same thing. When she saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, Genesis 3:6, she took of the fruit. A lot of people say it was an apple. I do not see an apple in the word of God. But it was a fruit. Whether it was an apple, we don't know. But she took of it and she ate, and she gave it to the man, and he did eat also. And sin came about. If they would have taken of the tree of life, every human being after them would have lived forever. They would have lived forever as well. But once they ate of the fruit, and we all was in Adam and Eve, every human being that was ever born or ever will be born was in Adam and Eve, and we would have done the same thing. Now, of course, God had told them in the day, told both of them, in the day that they do it or that we do it, we should surely die. The flesh part will die. God knew ahead of time, even before he created everything, and even before he made man and woman, that they were going to sin. Of course, if they would have ate of the tree of life, we would all live forever and ever and ever. But we are still going to live forever, we that are born again. And during that period of time, Adam lived for 900 and some years, and life span at that time, 900 years, was nothing. It wasn't nothing for a person to have a baby, a man to have a impregnated woman at 300 or 400 years old. But then when Abraham came on the scene, then the years started decreasing. I think Abraham lived somewhere around 130 years. But we are told that there are seven dispensations. And, of course, some believe that there's more. I believe that there are seven dispensations. And the first dispensation, which I'm just going to touch on, is the dispensation of innocence. And that was during the time of Adam and Eve. That was during the time of Adam and Eve in the garden. The dispensation of innocence. The second dispensation was the dispensation of conscience. Now, of course, that was during Cain and Seth. That was during their time. And there are five more dispensations, and I will not go into those now because we are on the dispensation of innocence dealing with Adam and Eve. And God had already prepared for us a deliverer. And in Genesis, the third chapter, verse 15, one of the prophecy, and the first prophecy, of course, is Genesis, the third chapter, verse 15. Born of a woman, this is the Old Testament. Verse 15 say, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, talking about the devil, talking about the serpent, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Romans 16:20 say, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. This is Paul speaking to the Romans. Of course, the New Testament fulfillment of that prophecy, and we know that every prophecy was fulfilled by Jesus Christ. He was the only one that could fulfill every prophecy, because we know what the Word of God declared, that there was no one found in heaven, the angelical beings. None was qualified. The 24 elders that continued to bow down before God, they were not able to do what Jesus was able to do, fulfill every jot and tittle. No one was on earth, and certainly no one under the earth. Matthew 1:20 was the fulfillment of that prophecy from Genesis, the third chapter, verse 15. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thy son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, that wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Galatians 4:4 say, but when the fullness of the time was come, praise the Lord. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, glory to God, made of a woman, made under the law. He was the only one, Jesus, that was able to fulfill the law of the living of God, of the living God. And when the fullness of time, it was God time. After 400 years from Malachi to St. Matthew, when no one heard from heaven, from God, God in his own time, in his very own time, brought forth his son, born of a virgin. He's the one that impregnated Mary. He can do all things. Believer, we thank God for his word. We was trying to get as much done as time allowed, but my next time, next month, on Tuesday, second Tuesday, I will be able to continue. Thank Franklin Brown. Thank Elder Hall, Dorothy Hall, for giving me this opportunity. God bless you. Love you very much. And Pastor Elder, Elder Hall, Dorothy Hall, will be back next Tuesday. She will be back next Tuesday. And God bless all of you. I love you all. I keep you in your prayers, in my prayers, and keep me in your prayers. And God bless you. Amen. Right here.
Slide it from recording, slide it down.
Okay, so.
Yeah, let's slide it down. So you recorded all that.
You push that. Yeah, I'm going to have to learn this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you say slide it down.
No. This is the recorder.
Right.
On, you slide it up. To start recording, you slide it up. And stop recording, you slide it down.
Okay. I thought you push it. Okay, you slide it.
Yeah, well,
okay.
It won't do nothing to push.
Okay.
It's up and down.
Down, okay. So I turn it on first, and then when I get ready to record, bring it down.
Okay.
Oh, I push it up. Okay.
Stop.
Bring it down, and then click it off. Okay. Appreciate it.
I'm gonna give you the paper so you can look at it. I don't know what you did with it.
But I got it down. Mm-hmm.